I could change the world, or everyone could just do like one thing, it's just like, just have fun with what you're doing. It's just like, life is just so short, and it's really easy to get caught up in, you know, whatever bad stuff is going on. And I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be like skateboarding, it can be like doing puzzles. Just like find that one thing that just like, just gives you that feeling. And just
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Today we enter the mind of Justin Keston, the founder of Wool Skateboards. Justin is a fun-loving guy who lives a free-spirited life, very down-to-earth, and has a passion for snowboarding and skateboarding. In his free time, he enjoys jamming out to metal music. While he's not working his day job, Justin's passion shines through when he's creating for Wool. He operates the business, produces graphics, films skateboard videos, and builds the product line. With a kind offer on his part, we had the opportunity to sit down at his house and host the podcast. Thank you to all who support Vindalism, and we hope you guys enjoy this conversation we had with Justin. Welcome to Vindalism, a philosophy to a self-sufficient lifestyle. We're here today with the creator of Wool Skateboards out of Syracuse, New York. If you'd like, introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. Justin Keston, owner, creator, videographer, social media manager, one-man show for Wool Skateboards.
So it's an independent company?
Yeah, totally independent. Right now everything is done pretty much by me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fucking workhorse.
I guess. I don't know. It turns out I'm a little bit of a busybody. I'm not so good at sitting still. I'm always working on something. But, I mean, I've had a ton of help along the way. There's a team of people I sponsor. I get a lot of help from them. And there's a lot of friends of mine that have helped. I guess at the end of the day, all the decisions are mine, but I consult with a ton of people, for pretty much everything. So it's, there's a lot of people that, that help, and I definitely will be shouting them out along the way when we be doing this.
Yeah, definitely. You're probably making a lot of connections along the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, that's the great thing about skateboarding is like, you know, you can meet people and be from like, you know, totally different backgrounds, you know, and you could be like completely opposite sides of the spectrum on everything, but you have this one thing in common and something that, like, you know, for the most part, that you and this other person care so much about. So it's a really good way to find common ground with someone.
Yeah, definitely. It brings culture together.
Very diverse
backgrounds.
Yeah.
Kind of like a melting pot.
Yeah, exactly. It's good. It's cool.
Yeah, for sure. So you have a lot of different interests. How about we go into a little bit of where you came from?
Yeah.
So where are you from?
Born and raised in Syracuse. I lived here till I was 18, went to high school. I went to college in Burlington, Vermont. At that point, like, snowboarding was like my passion. That was my focus on everything. I studied graphic design in college, so it was like snowboarding and art. Those are the two things I cared about more than anything else. Definitely snowboarding was it. That was top of the list.
And was skateboarding ever in that mix?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I came way late to skateboarding. Like, I was screwed around when I was younger, like in my teen years, just like, you know, like watching like Jackass and like Bam Margera and that stuff. That was my first like big exposure. But I never really started spending a lot of time doing it until maybe 18, 19, somewhere in there, just because I wanted to, because snowboarding was still the core of everything, but when the snow melted, I still wanted to be on a board. And I was like, oh, it's skateboarding, and that was kind of where it really started.
So originally it was snowboarding.
Yeah.
And then skateboarding was kind of like your outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
In the summertime.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a way to continue to be on a board. Because I surf occasionally whenever I get the chance. I love surfing, actually, really more than anything else at this point, but I never get the chance to do it, so it's like, well, skateboarding.
Yeah, especially in New York, Syracuse, New York.
But yeah, so that was kind of like the basis of everything, and then just like went through like college, and then from there it was like, oh, like I want to live out west. I want to be, you know, be in the snowboard industry. And so I got a job at a summer snowboard camp in Oregon. And there were people coming from like Ecuador, really all over the place. I mean, all over the States too. A lot of Canadian kids as well.
Really?
Yeah.
For street?
Yeah. I think it's been a couple of years now, but it used to be pretty consistently that pros would come to Syracuse. And yeah, there's an elementary school in Chittenango, that has a rail that some pros have been to, I think, in the last couple of years. I haven't been following snowboarding as closely, as I used to. I mean, like each winter I used to know like where every pro was and what, you know, where they were going and when they were here. And I was a big dork for snowboarding, without a doubt.
How come the change now?
So, yeah, I wanted to be in the snowboard industry. And so like I was living in Salt Lake City in the winter and then working at this camp in the summer. And it wasn't, to be honest, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
The snowboarding industry in general?
Yeah. Like I thought it was going to be just like, I thought everyone was going to have the same love and appreciation for it that I had. And that their take on it was going to be the same as mine. That like, you know, snowboarding is the greatest thing ever. It's just like, you know, kind of like an ultimate freedom. You can just be yourself. Like it doesn't matter. And it's
childhood.
Yeah. It was kind of a harsh reality check. And I was just like, man, this sucks.
Was this at the camp you were talking about?
No. This is when I was living in Salt Lake. The camp, the camp was great after I left. So. Yeah, my buddy who's from Binghamton, he and I went out there together. But I mean, there are a lot of great people out there who I still, you know, who I've met out there who I still keep in touch with. I mean, it's not a blanket statement, but I think it just maybe it was just my experience with it was just like a bit of like a release, just like pushing yourself and just like getting better on the board. And that was like the beginning of like, okay, like there, I know I want to do something, but I don't know what. And I had tried to do a couple things in snowboarding. Like I made snowboard videos under the name The Salmon Seaman, for a while. I think I made five or six videos between my friend and I. And then
how old were you during that time?
I'd made the first one in 2011 and the last one in 2013 or 2014.
Okay, and so a little space out.
Yeah. That one's not fully dead because it's kind of tied in with wool a little bit. There's a fish design that I printed on grip tape that I sell along with the boards. And so the thinking was to kind of transform it from, you know, snowboard video production or, you know, whatever it was, to grip tape, because I got a lot of positive feedback on the logo on that.
And you were there from what age to what age?
So I think when I moved out I was 22 or 23, and when I left I was 25. So I do
left
the winter
from...
I would do the winters in Salt Lake City and the summers in Oregon.
So when
summer ended, then I would move back to
Salt Lake. Obviously after high school. Did you go to college, mm-hmm. undergrad, or okay.
Yeah, this was after college as well.
After college, and then you moved out, and then you got to this phase in your life where you started to not enjoy snowboarding as much.
Yeah.
And you started to get more interested in skateboarding.
Yeah. It definitely is like, as far as like the like activity of like, you know, lifestyle or whatever. It's like snowboarding was number one, skateboarding was number two, and then right at the end of my time in Salt Lake, it flipped, because like it was really tough, like not having snowboarding be that same thing that it used to be. That was a really, really, really hard thing to deal with, because it was just like, it was just this like fiery passion that I had for it. It was just completely snuffed out. But I took a little time off, and now it's definitely back, which I'm happy about. But it was that was a tough thing.
But then skateboarding took that over.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And did you roll with it?
Yeah, no, I
physically and
yeah, no, I leaned into it full force, really. It just gave me that thing I was missing, and the beautiful thing about skateboarding is you get out of it what you put into it. So like you can be anywhere in the world, and if you just have like one teeny little obstacle, like you're set. Like there's this one Finnish pro skateboarder, Otto Saari, and apparently the town, or so I've told, the town, he's from Finland. The town that he's from in Finland is like the least conducive place to skateboarding, but it, just like really rough gravel, not a lot of, it's like not a populated town. So there's not like handrails or anything. It's just kind of, there isn't really enough,
just shit concrete
there.
Everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. But he persevered through that and was good enough to get noticed, and then came to America and just like set skateboarding like on fire when he came over in the like 90s, early 2000s. So yeah, like that's like that. That's something I really enjoy about it, because like with snowboarding, it's like, oh, like, you know, you have to go to Colorado or, you know, Utah or California, you know, whatever. Skateboarding, I mean, like there's that same, there kind of is a little bit of that same mentality with skateboarding, but for the most part, you can go anywhere in the world and you can skate something. Like even some guy put out a video on Thrasher, I think sometime in the last year, and he filmed a skateboard part in winter, and I don't know if he's in Moscow or St. Petersburg, and it's just like with enough like determination, like yeah, you can make it work.
Yeah, super creative.
Yeah, aspect. It's just like the ultimate like, I don't know, I don't want to use the word sport, but it's just like it has more freedom to it than anything else as far as like an activity goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because like there are so many different, you know, you have transition skaters, street skaters, freestyle skaters. It's just it's endless, and the boundaries are constantly getting pushed. It's awesome. It's a really cool thing to watch unfold.
And it's worldwide.
Yeah.
So you're meeting people from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
Not only culture, but like economic standpoints and like different ways of viewing the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a clusterfuck of just like ideas.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. One of the guys I skate with in Binghamton, we met him at a skate park in Binghamton. He's from Ireland originally, and he's getting his PhD at SUNY Binghamton, and he's a really, really, really talented skater, and we just happened to meet him by happenstance, and now like we're all super close, and it's funny to like take a step back and be like,
this crazy. Was Binghamton,
like, yeah
oh wow,
yeah. I know, we tease him, you know, he applied to go to school in America, and of all the places they could have sent him, they sent him to Binghamton.
I actually went to school at Binghamton.
Really? Yeah, no, I
can talk
I,
shit.
I go there all. I mean, like all the guys I skate with, that's where they're from. I mean, I go there all the time. It's
a good
fun
skate scene.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. No, it's a really good skate scene actually. And that's definitely something we can get into when we get into the genesis of Wool, because that was critical. Definitely.
The formation of Wool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the guys in Binghamton. But yeah, there was a little bit of time from when I came back from Utah before I knew I wanted to do something. I just didn't know what.
So you're kind of going through like an existential crisis of some sort.
Yeah, I mean, definitely something. Just because like that mix up, and like coming back east, it was just like it was a lot of change. And yeah, and there was another snowboard clothing company I tried running for a little while, that I stopped doing after I think two runs. It was just too niche, and I was like, I don't want to keep trying this. But it's crazy. Every once and again, I have people hitting me up, being like, do you have a shirt
black
like
unicorn
in this size? Yeah. Like, do you have a shirt in like whatever size left? Like, I like it. Yeah. There's a couple people left over who are still super hyped on it. Which is sick. I mean, I've entertained the idea of trying to bring it back, but I don't know.
I mean, who knows? You with Wool, you could always kind of like work that kind of like a style into it. Just
yeah,
for like maybe one season line.
Yeah, maybe. I had the idea of doing a metal line for Wool called Steel Wool.
Oh, shit. That's so creative. I like that.
Yeah, I don't... we'll see. We'll see if it happens. I have a sketchbook with just like a thousand... Like, whenever I have a dumb idea, I just write it down. So we'll see with that one. But yeah, like
we'll see.
Yeah.
So lame.
No, there's nothing wrong with being punny. I love it. But yeah, so like after like doing like Salmon Semen and Black Unicorn Death Cult, I knew I wanted to do something. I just didn't know what it was gonna be. I didn't know if it was, I definitely didn't think it was gonna be skateboarding. I knew I just wanted to bide my time, just kind of get my legs back under me, and just start figuring something out.
So we're at a crossroads here.
Yeah.
You're coming up to this point where you have a lot of experience in your life and you're figuring things out, but you still are just like not getting it. That one thing.
Yeah.
What was that one trigger that kind of got you into going in the right direction, we'll say? There is a right.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it was just like finding a good group of guys. I shouldn't say guys, a good group of people to skate with. They're all in Binghamton. It's just like every day we would go out was just always the most fun. We were just screwing around, having the time of our lives. Like it was just. A lot of the times we would link up. There used to be a park. It's still there, but it only opens every once and again.
Is it Sherilyn?
No, not Sherilyn's. It's called HCS. It was started by like a former bike pro. That was where we met.
Is that Dave Mira?
No,
name dropping. No. Right
now. No, his name's Derek Nelson, but he was known in the BMX world as the Black Rider, and he was in like this series of BMX videos. He even had like a segment on ESPN, which was pretty wild. Super nice guy, super hardworking. Just like built this park up from nothing, completely himself. So that was where we would kind of all go and hang out and link up, and that was where I started, forming a lot of good friendships with people, who I still skate with today.
What brought you to Binghamton in the first place?
So my buddy Jimmy Bike, he and I actually met in Oregon when we were 20 or 21. I think we were 20. So it was my first time ever going to Oregon for this camp. And I show up and, introductions. I'm like, hey, what's up? I'm Justin. I'm from Syracuse. And I hear these two guys be like, well, we're from Binghamton.
What?
And it was just like, it was crazy. We're on the complete other side of the country. And so, yeah, we just got to talking, immediately hit it off. One of those guys was Jimmy. Another was a kid by the name of Chris. I don't get to see him too often these days. He was a guy I snowboarded with for a while. Great dude. Both of them just really like positive, just fun to be around. Like any day, like skating with Jimmy it's always a good day. There's just like, no, it's just not possible to have mm-hmm. a bad day with him. So he definitely played a big role in just like finding that fire again. It's just like, all right, like it's like, things are cool.
Mm-hmm. Actually do it for the reason of just loving it, really.
Yeah. And he's just like this big goofy dude, and it's impossible to be around him and like not frowning. He just has this just like great energy, and it's infectious. He's always it's always fun with him for sure.
Yeah, definitely surrounding yourself around a group of people, that have the same mindset as you, and also is in it for the right reasons,
or the
same reasons as why you're in it, can spark a lot of like creative ideas.
Absolutely.
There's no pressure either.
No, I mean, everything, yeah, it was just purely for the love of it, and it was great. And yeah, I was able to I guess get back to what I was to what I'd been missing, with snowboarding, because that was what snowboarding was for me. But now it was skating was what really had taken over.
So did you end up moving to Binghamton?
No. I stayed here.
You were just kind of commuting?
Yeah. I mean, typically, you know, they would come up for one weekend. I would go down there for one weekend, just something like that. I mean, it's an easy drive. And I've always driven all over the place. And like I said, it's hard for me to sit still.
So,
I just never really thought anything. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, we'll go down to Binghamton. We'll jump in Jimmy's car and, you know, we'll go to wherever.
Go skate.
Yeah, exactly.
And how old were you at around that period of time?
Yeah, this is like 25, 26. So just a couple of years ago. And then like right at this time, a couple of the guys from that group who were hanging out at HCS, they had been kicking around the idea of starting a skateboard company. And so I can't remember off the top of my head what year they launched. It might have been 2014, it might have been 2015, but either way, it's called the Baron Company. And
oh, Baron Company.
Yeah.
Is that in relationship to Trappist?
Yeah. So, you know...
I know Judah.
Okay, yeah. Judah, it was just his birthday the other day. Happy birthday, Judah.
Happy birthday. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, no, Judah's the best. Yeah, actually, I went on a skate trip with him in Philly for... He rode for Baron Company for a little while.
So was that like the original skate crew of Binghamton at the time?
Tropus was a little separate, but we... I don't think I met Judah until I went on that trip with him. And then he decided to stop doing Tropus for a little while and rode for Baron. And then I think he wanted to go back to doing Tropus again. So there's a lot of people floating around. But yeah, I know the Tropus guys hung out at Sherry Lindsay, the park for the city more. And then the Baron guys would be at HCS. That private park. Yeah, go figure.
Yeah.
Judah's a great dude. I like him a lot. Yeah, it's talking about a super positive guy with infectious energy. Yeah, I've gone on a couple day trips with him. But yeah, the Philly one that was sweet. I really enjoyed hanging out with him on that trip we went on in Philly. But yeah, so Baron Company was founded. And so they sponsored a couple of the guys from that group, and then a few others. And I was helping them at some point a little bit to try and the joke was that I was the Northeastern talent scout, but I was trying to find people for their team. They were like, okay, you know, we want to try and find someone in the Syracuse area. So you know, Justin, if you and I travel for my day job. So they're like, oh yeah, if you see someone, you know, tell them that, you know, that we're doing this and get the,
You're doing, was it construction?
I was doing sales for construction, which I still do now. That's what I do for my day job at this point. But yeah, so Baron, I helped Baron, you know, in whatever way I could. They would take me on trips, whenever they would. We still would go and skate together, and I wasn't on the team or anything, but you know, I was part of the family.
Okay, so working your day job, commuting down to Binghamton.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing the skate trips.
Yep.
And then, where was the point in you starting to have the idea of Wool?
So we all had a group text, and Tom Dewing, he's one of the guys that runs Baron, super, super funny guy. And so we would just like bullshit and just like talk, in our group chat during the weeks. And Tom said a couple times that he was like, you know, you guys really should like run a company like based on like some of the stuff we talk about. Like there's a lot of like gold in here. And that was kind of where when he said that was where the seed got planted. It's like, okay, like I have like a little bit of experience, like, you know, running a small company. Like maybe this is something I should take a shot at.
And you had the other two companies from before.
No, I wasn't doing anything with those at this point. I had kind of let them just kind of let them go and just kind of focused on, you know, just kind of getting back to just having fun not having to worry about anything like that. Just, you know, screwing around with your friends. That was what I really wanted to get back to. So I sat on that idea for a long time, and then I can't remember exactly when it was, but then I started talking with Tom, and I was like, you know, like I'm thinking about doing something. I just don't know what. And he's like, well, if you need help in any way, just let me know. You know, I'm at your service. And so, yeah, I was like, okay, well, you know, Baron does boards, and you know, I got my degree in graphic design, and you know, I love printed media, so I was like, well, that's something that's certainly in my wheelhouse. You know, I love doodling, I love creating. I was like, yeah, well, I've only done soft goods before. You know, why not hard goods this time around? So that was, yeah, working with Tom, that was where I started to get the idea of, you know, okay, you know, the Baron guys, they, you know, they do skateboards and they do an awesome job. You know, what if I did, you know, my take on it?
Like a collab with them?
No, totally, totally separate. And it's funny because like we're such good friends. People think we're lumped in together. But no, we're definitely, you know, a family of some sorts, but no, there's nothing actually binding the two companies together other than just, you know, friendship.
I'm interested into getting in a little bit of like your philosophy, because you're saying that, yeah, you would have conversation and it was gold and it was something different. Like, what is something that sets you apart? Like wool, because it's all like at the end of the day, skate goods.
Yeah.
Clothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this one's a tough one to answer. I don't think there's anything that really makes us stand out a ton. It was just like, I really like companies that have a good grasp on humor. They don't take themselves too seriously. That's something I always enjoyed. I always gravitated towards skate companies that, that we're having fun with it. So like,
which relates a lot back to your childhood, not childhood, but like growing up with snowboarding.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of like a little bit like carefree, a little bit tongue in cheek. And so yeah, like, you know, Skate Mental, Crooked, Anti-Hero, you know, those are the companies that I gravitated towards a lot. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to just be a copy of those, you know, okay, what's something I like about this? And I kind of started assembling my mood board. And it's funny, the first iteration of Wool was like, or the original idea that I thought that it was going to be was actually so far off from what Wool ended up becoming. Because like a lot of the stuff was based on, like, you know, what I say was like the gold, was kind of just like inside jokes. From like a lot of it was from like the group chat, but like the first idea I had for a board company, we were skating a spot in Syracuse where it was just some people started pouring concrete underneath one of the 690 overpasses. Unfortunately, it's gone now, but it was called the Bum Spot, and it's like right, it's right by where like Mello Velo is now, if you know that bike shop and cafe.
Oh yeah, I was actually Google searching random like coffee shops.
Okay, yeah. So you definitely would have found it. I don't know who started building there, but it was a highway overpass, so it was just filthy, and bums would hang out there. So I remember we were skating and we had just gone to the spot for the first time, and I said to Tom something along the lines of like, oh, like don't want to take a wrong step and, you know, like land in bum jizz, or, and, And so I was like, and then like the word bum spunk came to mind. And I was like, well, that kind of rolls off the tongue. Like that's a little funny. And so like my first idea was like, okay, like bum spunk, just make it super like gritty and like punk rock, just like hand-drawn illustrations and just like kind of like, you know, like shitty, like pen and paper. And I sat on that for a couple weeks, and then I was like, nah, you know, at first it was funny, but there wasn't a lot of freedom with that. So, you know, then it was just kind of, I scrapped that and then went back to the drawing board.
Is that what you're saying? It was too niche-y?
Exactly. Because I tried doing, I mean, it was like if I tried to make Black Unicorn Death Cult a board company, it's just too niche.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you can only draw so many of the
same. Exactly. There wasn't a lot of freedom with it, which I did not like. I really wanted something I could take in any direction.
Right. And that seems like something that you uphold to a lot of value.
Yeah.
Like freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Being able to play and just kind of do you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I know is something isn't unique to me and isn't unique to Wool, but that's like a great part about skateboarding is that you can just take your own, you know, your own kind of brand or your own kind of... I remember I wrote a little note when after I made the Instagram for Wool and started to get like my ducks in a row, I made a little note saying, you know, like what we were going to be and sort of like, I guess for lack of a better term, a mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just about like, it's like not that we think, you know, we're doing anything better than anyone else or that, you know, there's no one out there, you know, having fun. We just want to try it, you know, our specific way. So, you know, Wool skateboards, here we go. Jumping in with both feet. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what I had written, but I know it's the first post on our Instagram if you dig back.
Yeah. I'll have to look back at it.
Yeah. Me too, because I can't remember.
You're like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, no. I mean, I know I scribbled something because I have terrible handwriting, but I was like, oh, this is how I want it. This is how I want it to kick off. Yeah. Like, this is perfect.
I mean, with any idea, though, it like, it just grows from that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a progression to it. And then you can look back and be like, damn. There's been a lot of shit in between then.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm definitely starting to like hit that as like I circle back and just like look back on some of the. I mean, we're definitely still in like the fledgling stages, but it's kind of crazy. It's funny. Judah was the one that pointed out. I bumped into him skating, and he was like, "Man, like, because when he and I went on that Baron trip to Philly, I had like just started like." The first like designs, like I think I just like I was trying like different logos, and I just had like pictures on my phone, and I was passing it around to everyone in the car. I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing this board company called Wool, like this is what I'm thinking right now. And like I haven't seen Jude all that much, and he was like, dude, like it's crazy how like I remember like you talking about it, and, like it was just like this little thing like on your phone, and now yeah, and it's just like and now it's like it's grown into this like thing, and like it kind of hit me, and I was like. Fuck, he's kind of right. I was like, damn. So yeah, that was a pretty cool thing to like take a step back and be like, hey, you know, this actually has grown a little bit, like organically too, which is wild.
Yeah, one thing that's cool, speaking from like personal experience,
yeah,
is like with creating a company, you can see there's like visual growth with just like looking at the brand itself.
Yeah,
and I kind of like. Relate that to my personal growth.
Yeah.
And so it's all like with personal growth, it's hard to kind of like see where you're at and how much progression you have. But like with having a brand and you're growing with it, it's like you can literally visually see how much you've grown.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that space.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It's wild to look at like stuff over time. It's just like all the like memories and stuff that are attached to different things that come flooding back. It's just like, damn, that is kind of crazy.
Yeah, for sure. So how long have you been in this zone?
Let's see. I think I'm about a year and some change in now. No, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be in the neighborhood of 2 years now, because I spent a lot of time over the winter. We've done two lines of boards, and I'm about to do a line of I have them, I have to list them and shoot photos of them, of beanies and hoodies for winter.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess it's been a couple of years now.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah,
at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, which is crazy. Cause yeah, it just like it started out. Cause I remember I was just like I was driving, so I scrapped the bum spunk thing, and just like the name wool popped into my head, and I was like, cause I wanted something really simple. Again, I could just take in any direction I wanted.
That's a pretty universal name.
Yeah, and yeah, it's just it works on. I mean, it can work on a lot of different levels. So I started thinking. I was like, okay, wool, and then I just started drawing, you know, logos and started, just kind of taking it from there. But that was kind of that original seed. But yeah, it's just been, the whole process has just been so much fun, and you know, I told myself as you know, as long as it stays fun, I'm gonna keep doing it. And it's just been the whole process has just been such a blast. I mean, I couldn't be happier with how everything has been going. That's great.
So it was really just kind of like a idea floating and just kind of like stuck in your head.
Yeah, exactly. It just kind of popped in and I started just like picturing it in like different ways. Cause I was like, okay, like if I really want to do like the metal thing again, like I can do that. Or like if I want to do something like on the complete other side of the spectrum or something, you know, like more like, you know, like artsy, or there's just like, there's a lot of different directions that it can go in. And that was like, I was like, yep, that's it. And so like, I started doing some research, like, okay, there's no other wool skateboards. I'm like, all right, like, that's it. Like, and then it's just like, okay, and then now what?
Yeah. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the funny thing about, cause like the first two things I did were very, we're very niche, and like and with this, like with it being so much freedom, it's just like, damn, what do I do? Yeah.
So what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I mean,
do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I mean, always. I work with some of the riders to produce art for the boards, and. Like, you know, one of them, I know I've said to him a couple times, like, hey, I'm an idea man. I can come up with things, but I need a little help, executing them. So I'm working on the third line currently. I'm definitely really excited about it. The previous two lines have been doing great.
Do you usually release in the summer?
Yeah. I try to time it so you know when people are going to be outside skating more that you know, it's going to try and generate some hype. Then.
So you're looking to keep it local with Syracuse from now on?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, again, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, I mean, with e-commerce.
Yeah. I know I've gotten some interest in a few places outside the state, so I have. There's four people on the team right now. Three of them are from upstate New York. One's from Philly.
Okay. And those are all the guys on the skate team?
Yeah, there's actually one girl. One girl. One girl who absolutely...
She shreds.
Rips. Yeah, we...
Hell yeah.
Yeah, she's a badass. It's it's crazy. We went to a girls' contest down in Second Nature Skate Park in Peekskill, New York. And, it was kind of like a girls' jam, and then they're going to have contests. And I remember I was like, oh, like, there's contests. Like, do you want to sign up? Because, like, my whole thing is, like, there's no pressure. Like, I just want it to be fun. Like, if there's anyone that's on the team, like, I want you to be having fun. If you're not having fun, then, like, we got to reassess what's going on. Because, like, just, like, having fun and doing it for the love. Like, that's, like, what I want to be at the core of everything with wool. So, and she was like, oh, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm really feeling it. I was like, all right, no, it's fine. Just skate, do your own thing. And then the people that were organizing the contest came up to her and were like, hey, what's your name? Nicole? Okay, we're signing you up. You're going to be in, you're crushing it. Just because she's a really, really talented skater.
She was just, like, in the warm-up crew.
Yeah. Just skating the park. And, I mean, it's pretty noticeable that you know there's this girl doing a lot of tech tricks that you do not see a lot of people doing in general. Good for a girl doesn't even count with her.
Just good in general.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's incredible, and she ended up winning the contest.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
shout out to
Nicole Hawkins.
Nicole,
Nicole, you're a boss. I'm happy you're on board. No, it was. I remember I filmed the whole thing. I made an edit, and just the sound of when she landed the trick, and the whole, this is a skate park inside of a warehouse.
Oh my god!
And just the whole place erupts.
It's such a great feeling.
Yeah, no, I was so hyped. And I knew it. I knew it as soon as she landed. I was like, that's the
you fucking
trick.
Won.
Yeah,
no, hell,
I was,
yeah,
like, without a doubt. And of course, like, yeah, she ended up winning. Yeah, it's wild. But yeah, no, like, it's the whole thing. I want it to be for the team and anyone that's involved with Wool. I want it to just be, you know, fun, just fun and carefree, and just because, like, for me, like, at this point in my life, like, skateboarding is just like that outlet. It's just like you can take, like, all that, like, negativity that you're feeling just, like, from the day to day, or just, you know, and you can just pour everything into that one activity, and just, like, you land a trick, and, like, it's just the greatest feeling, especially if it's one you've been fighting for. There's this one older pro skater who does a web series. His name's Jeff Grosso. And he talks about, it's called Love Letters to Skateboarding, and he just has a theme, but he talks about, you know, how great it is to land a trick. And he's like, some people, like, that'll carry them through, like for some people, like, landing a trick, like, that'll carry them through, like, their week, like, if not their month.
Yeah. Like people with, like, severe depression.
Yeah.
Like, skating can, like, ground you and, like, get you back on your feet.
Yeah. I remember one of the guys I used to work with in Oregon told me, he used to live in Montana, and I guess Montana used to be, like, the meth capital of the U.S., really of the world, I guess. And someone came up with the idea, it was like, okay, let's just put skate parks in every single town. Just put skate parks everywhere. And apparently, meth usage in Montana dropped, like, 80%.
Oh, wow.
And it, like, pretty much eradicated the problem. At least it wasn't an epidemic like it used to be. It's like, I mean, it's not even anyone with, like, extreme depression or anything, but I mean, it's just like, I mean, there's,
it's an outlet.
Yeah. I mean, there's negative stuff that happens, you know, in your day, you know, whether you want it to or not. It's just it's part of life, but it's just like, it's such a great way to, like, you know, like, you can walk away after a good day of skating, you know, with your head held high. It's just like, it's just, it feels good. It's just like the, like, I joke about that song Hooked on a Feeling, but that's like what skateboarding is. It's just like it's a physical feeling of just, you know, riding a piece of wood around.
Yeah, it's euphoria.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially like when there's a trick you're battling for and it works. Like, that's just like greatest.
And all it takes is that one land.
Yeah.
And everything
definitely
just kind of like gets resolved. You're like,
yeah,
yes, finally.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, like, that person I'm not getting along with at work, like, fuck them. It doesn't matter. You know, like, I got this trick, and it's just, yeah, it's such a special thing.
Yeah. I think you're bringing something special, especially to the business world side of, because, I mean, with the skate industry.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to. We'll see if we make a splash, but
just the idea of just having fun.
Yeah.
Do it for the love of it.
Yeah.
You know, don't take yourself too seriously, like.
Yeah, exactly. That's like that.
We got your back.
That's
like,
definitely, yeah. Just
go out with, like, the homies and skate.
Yeah, you know, just have fun with it. I mean, that's all I want. And if I could change the world where everyone could just do, like, one thing, it's just like, just have fun. Just have fun with what you're doing. It's just like, life is just so short, and it's really easy to get caught up in, you know, whatever bad stuff is going on. And I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be like skateboarding, you know, it can be like doing puzzles. Just like, find that one thing that just, like, just gives you that feeling and just do it.
Makes you tick.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for anyone who might be struggling
Yeah.
finding that thing?
just keep trucking. I mean, just kind of search within yourself. It doesn't need to be something active. I mean, it could just be doodling. It could just be drawing circles on a paper. I know for a lot of people, it's music. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's got to have, you know, passion for something. I mean,
I think just the act of creating.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like,
some effect to that just, like, invigorates people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, like, I'm a creative person, and I can't imagine not constantly coming up with stuff. I mean, even if I, you know, shut down Wool, or, you know, did whatever with it, you know, there's always, it always comes back to just creating and doing something, and that's, yeah, and that's something that I think it's a way I'll always be. I mean, I have no intentions of shutting down Wool. I'm having way too much fun with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, just definitely that feeling of creation. I mean, maybe that's the advice, you know, just create something. I mean, whittle
experiment.
Whittle a piece of wood. You know, find a 3D printer. What we were talking about before we started recording. I mean, just do something. I mean, because the possibilities are really limitless.
Yeah, and you can start making connections.
Yeah,
like you started out with snowboarding, mm-hmm. which led you to skateboarding, which led you to creating Wool.
Yeah,
it's like you never know what's out there until you get out there.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And there's so much in this world too. I mean, it's just it's crazy. My girlfriend and I were just watching a cooking show on Netflix, and they like bring out these like star chefs and like all these people, like all the contestants, they're all high-end chefs themselves, and they all freak out because like, oh my god, like I have this guy's book. And it's like, it's something that like if you're not in that world, you have no idea. And I remember at first I was like, oh, it's kind of funny how they're doing that. And she was like, well, what would it be like if, you know, like such and such like pro skater walked out? And I'm like, okay, you got me there.
It's like a secret communication.
Yeah, yeah.
But not really secret, but it's just kind of like I don't know what to call it. What would you call it?
I mean, I guess it's just like it's a commonality, because like you have this one world, but you have all of these, you know, other worlds behind it. You know, you could call it like genre and subgenre. Like getting back to the metal thing, I remember. Have you ever seen? I'm sure you've seen Forrest Gump, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. When Bubba's talking about all the different shrimp.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Someone made a meme of that with all the different types of metal, because it's like, oh, you got speed metal, mm-hmm. thrash metal, power metal, black metal, death metal, and, like, mm-hmm. it just keeps going. But, like, that's kind of, like, what...
And me as an outsider, I would have no idea.
Yeah.
Metal, okay.
But, like, but, yeah, it's just, like, there's just so much in this world. I mean, anything that you have any mild interest in, especially mm-hmm. with the internet now, you can find just endless information about it. I mean, it could be, like, something like bird watching, or, you know, going out and identifying flowers. You have as much information that humanity knows at your fingertips. I mean, if you have an inkling of an interest of anything,
you can find it.
I mean, and at the drop of a hat, too. Like, that's what's incredible.
Good insight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's such, I mean, yeah, again, going back to what we were talking about before, it's just, it's such a great time to be alive. I mean, there's so much, I mean, you know, like, knowledge is power, and there's just so much information that's just, that's out there, and it's just like, you can find something and just be, you know, you can immerse yourself in something that you had no idea even existed.
You could just be randomly surfing on the internet.
Yeah,
and come across something.
Yeah, yeah.
It literally changes your entire life.
Yeah, no, I mean, without a doubt, definitely. And I'm sure it happens, you know, on a daily basis too. I mean, just because there's so much information just going back and forth, and just so much communication, and mm-hmm. It's crazy. I trip out on it, but
there might be too many choices.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. I mean, you can just spend a few hours researching something and you can know, you know, a good chunk of what there is to know about it.
Yeah, at least the bare minimum to determine whether or not
it interests you. Yeah, no, without a doubt. I mean, you can find tutorial videos on YouTube for anything, or just, you know, like a WikiHow. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, I'd say that's good advice to anyone, really.
If
you're feeling lost, just start surfing on Google.
Find that passion. Although there's also a lot of dark, the internet can be a dark place as well. I don't want to open that can of worms. But yeah, if you're struggling, just keep on it. You know, find that thing. You know, make a batch of beer, make some wine. You know, just create something. Yeah, you know, like, you know, tan some leather, whittle a piece of wood. I mean, it doesn't have to be something, you know, that happens on Oregon Trail. I don't know. That's just where my mind's going right now. But you can, like, I mean, let's say if you even wanted to get into whittling, you could order a whittling kit on Amazon, and with Amazon Prime, you could have it on your doorstep in 48 hours, and you can be, you know, whittling, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, so use the power that you have.
So, I mean, that's great advice. Now, moving forward with wool, if you want to divulge any information, like your future vision of where you are headed, where you want to get to with wool?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always wanting to grow, you know, the number of board sales and stuff. You know, I'm in one shop in Syracuse, one shop in the Adirondacks. You know, shout outs to Black Mamba Skate Park and Human Power Planet Earth in Lake Placid. And yeah,
just kind of get the name out there.
Yeah. That's kind of where it's at right now. But I mean, I have a great team, that I have. I couldn't ask for anyone better.
And who are they?
We have Nicole Hawkins, who we talked about, Eli Carey, James Rounds, and Matt Tuohy. Matt's the kid in Philly. Yeah, great kid. Really, I really enjoy his skateboarding. Yeah, when I started, I was like, I'm not gonna, because, you know, when you announce that you're starting a skate company, you get a lot of DMs of people being like,
hey, oh, really?
Check out my Sponsor Me tape. And at first I was like, I don't know if I want to go that route, I want to stick to people I know. And then Matt sent me his stuff, and then it was different. And I was like, this kid does it exactly how I would do it if I could. I mean, he's a lot more talented than I am. And I mean, and I'm always, and anyone that DMs me footage, I always tell them, you know, I'm happy to take a look at it. So it's just, but you, when you announce that you that you're starting a company, you get a lot of attention.
How would you describe Matt's style?
It's Matt's technical but different. He does a lot of tricks that you don't see a lot of people doing. It's unique. I looked at his footage, and I was like, this kid skates like no one else I've really ever seen. He's got an individual style.
Just being himself.
Yeah. I mean, without a doubt, just he does a lot of tricks I wish I could do.
What kind of tricks? Just throwing out there.
Yeah, like I remember he sent me one clip of, he did a boneless. It's where you grab with your with your backhand and slide your front foot off and jump in the air. And so he did that over a pole into a bank.
Oh, wow.
Like down into...
Like pole jammed it?
He just went over it. So the pole he jumped over, and the pole like went in between his legs. And I was just like, fuck, that was cool. I wish I could do that. And he did a lot of he did. I know he sent me a clip not long ago of him doing a fakie ollie, fakie 5-0, like pop out to fakie, and just like he did it so perfectly. I was just like, I couldn't do that trick. Maybe in 5 years of consistently trying. But yeah, Matt's great. It's funny. I've talked with him a lot, and he's been with us for a while now, pretty much since day one. And we've actually never met. We haven't gone to Philly yet, but I think we're gonna go this summer. But yeah, all the team is fantastic. They really, I mean, everyone brings something different to the table. Eli does, you know, big tricks with a lot of power. James has a very individualistic style as well. A lot of tricks that you don't always see.
Was James the one that I saw at a
lovely time? Yeah, James is at a lovely time. Really good transition skater. And then, yeah, Nicole is just a technical powerhouse. A lot of really good switch tricks. It's incredible. I'm always blown. She sends me clips like, hey, this is the thing I'm working on. And I'm like, fuck, like, how are you doing this? Like, yeah, and she does a lot of switch tricks I've never seen anyone do before. Like, she just sent me a clip. She was at an indoor park down in the Hudson Valley. Not Second Nature. It's called, like, Skate Time 209 or something. She did, like, switch nose grind. Like, that's...
Oh, wow.
Like, that's a hard trick. Like, switch, I got nothing on. It's just...
Yeah.
So she has my utmost respect. So, yeah, the team... everyone brings something... Yeah, everyone brings something unique to the table. And that was exactly what I wanted. Like, not only are they talented skaters, but they all do something differently. They're not just carbon copies. They're all individuals.
Yeah.
And that's something I really, really want.
Yeah, I mean, one big thing that draws me into skateboarding is it's an art form.
Yeah.
It's self-expression.
Yeah, without a doubt. And yeah, and it's really like one of the ultimate forms of it, really. And it's just, continuing to, when you're battling for a trick, you're just throwing your body at something over and over and over. And, it's awesome. We've gone on a lot of fun trips. Like, we went on the one trip to Vermont. We've gone down to Peekskill at Second Nature a couple times, and it's just always good times in the car. And yeah, I couldn't be more thrilled with everyone. So yeah, I'm hoping to grow the team as the brand grows. I would like to do a full length video as well, although I don't know if the team's gonna be on board with that one.
Like a video part or more like documentary?
No, it wouldn't be. It would just be like the team, Nicole has a video part, Eli has a video part, James has a video part. They each have their own
segments.
Yeah, exactly. That's the next thing I'm thinking about. I've talked about it a little with them. It's an undertaking, and it'd be an undertaking on my part too if I was to be the one editing it. But that's something I really want to do. I think we could. I mean, because we go on these trips and we produce a lot of footage.
Do you film?
Yeah, I film as much as I can. Anytime I'm skating with anyone, if they're like, hey, do you think you can get this? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm at your disposal. So yeah, I try and be behind the camera as much as I can. And it's funny with doing this podcast. I kept it like a secret, but I kept my own personal brand outside of Wool. Like, I made sure, like, I didn't use any of like any footage that I had of myself. I just tried to keep my name, so like, I didn't give myself credit for
anonymous.
I mean, not anonymous, but I didn't sell my name with it with Wool.
Okay.
Like, I wanted it to be its own entity, not Wool by Justin, just Wool. And so yeah, it's funny. This is the most I've really ever talked about it, and I was at one of the parks in Syracuse, and I dropped off some boards to the team, and there were a lot of people there that were at the park that knew me and knew Wool, but didn't know that we were, connected at all. And they're like, wait, you're the guy that's running Wool? Seriously? And yeah, I've had that, Tony, who was at a lovely time, he said the exact same thing. He's like, seriously? Because I've known Tony since middle school. So he was like, seriously? You're the one that's running Wool? And I was like, surprise.
That's a sign of a true leader, though. Put others before yourself
and
stay humble. Like, all this stuff you learn as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
You're putting into practice.
I definitely try. I mean, it's just because, I have my own, style that isn't necessarily Wool. I love metal. Like, I definitely, like, dress a little bit more, metal-y or whatever, to quantify it. And yeah, it's just it's my own aesthetic isn't exactly perfectly lined up with wool. But that's like the great part about wool is that it's not exactly one thing or another. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it throws some people for a loop, which I mean, which I guess is a good thing that they didn't that they didn't know it was run.
Yeah, that means you're branding. Well, you're like putting the brand before yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I certainly want it to be bigger than me. I mean, because myself with skateboarding, I don't think I have much to bring to the table, but I think wool could.
And it's like a combination of everyone's style.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Everyone adds a different element to it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, yeah, and it's great. Yeah, I didn't know where it was gonna go when I started. I had no idea that I was gonna be here, doing this. But I couldn't be happier with how it's been going, and yeah, it's just it's the whole thing's been a thrill. I mean, I knew it was gonna be fun. I didn't know it was gonna be this fun.
You're in a good place.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think the brand's in a good place, and yeah, I'm so thankful to have gotten this point. But I definitely couldn't have done it without the help of a lot of people along the way, which I'm super grateful for.
Do you have any last words?
Oh, jeez.
Anything you want to wrap up?
Yeah. I mean, thanks to anyone who tuned into this. I mean, I never in a million years. I was saying at the beginning of this, I never thought I'd ever be on a podcast, let alone talking about my rinky dink skate company. No, but I mean, a big thank you to the team. You know, all those guys and girl. Are great. I couldn't be more thankful. You know, it's a big shout out to the Baron Company, to Tom and Ben, and yeah, Jimmy and Randy and Rob, all the guys I skate with. Black Mamba Skate Park, go there to get your skate stuff. Human Power Planet Earth and Lake Placid, and yeah, Adam Parker is another guy who's one of my buddies from high school. We went to college together. He helped a lot in the process as well. Just a thousand thank yous to all those people. I think that's everyone, or at least that's most of them.
The Grand Adora, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, and anyone who's supported Wool, again, a thousand thank yous, because you're making a dream come true that I never thought was possible. So, yeah, thank you to everyone. I couldn't be more humbled and more happy to have gotten the response that I have, yeah. and it's great.
So you got any like plugs as far as like where we can find you?
Yeah, yeah. WoolSkateboards.com and Wool Skateboards on Instagram. That's where everything is pretty much centralized. We do a little bit on Facebook. But yeah, if you're in Lake Placid, Human Power Planet Earth, if you're in Syracuse, Black Mamba Skate Park. And yeah, if you want your local skate shop to pick up wool, I'm more than happy to get on the phone with them, harass them, have them reach out, or I can reach out to them. Hit me up.
And maybe we'll see a segment of steel wool in the
near
future.
Yeah, yeah, it's in the idea pool. I don't know if we'll move forward with it, but it's in the.
It's like Wool's half brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That went
yeah.
like a little little grunge over yeah. the years.
Yeah, yeah, I don't, yeah. It's yeah. I have a few things penned. We'll see if it's one of the ones that I move forward.
It's been nice to have you.
Oh, dude, thank you so much. Justin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I appreciate it. This has been a treat. It's wild when we met at a lovely time. Oh yeah, shout out a lovely time for making this happen. Because yeah, that put
we
us
connected
yeah
the, if it the, wasn't for that.
That put us in touch. Yeah, and it's sweet to see everything that you guys are doing. I think that's everything I got.
That's a wrap. All
right.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for Justin. Thanks for this dope setup we got here.
My man came
it's Justin's house. Yeah. Over and out. Peace. And there you have it. Justin Keskin,
an authentic, humble man who just wants to have a good time doing what he loves. Justin's last words of advice for us was, keep your passion your mistress. It definitely shines through in our conversation that he practices what he preaches. We are forever grateful to be able to hear his story and understand what makes him tick. Thanks again, Justin, and we wish you the best moving forward with Wool Skateboards, the softest brand in skateboarding. Peace!
Thank you again, Justin, for sitting down with us. Just wanted to kind of do a little rundown for everyone listening. Kyle likes to do very quick intros and outros, so I figured this is a good time for me to just kind of run you down on things coming up Boho Hobo. So first of all, we have new product. I'm sure I've talked about this in the past, but go check it out at our website, www.bohohobolifestyle.com. You can find all the goods in the merchandise tab. You can also find our podcasts, all the episodes, videos, starting to do some blogging, and really just like the website is a central hub of Boho Hobo, and that's really what we want it to be. So definitely go over and check it out. Let us know what you think. Any criticism is good criticism for us, so feel free to drop us a DM, let us know what you think, and maybe even let us know what you think about the podcast. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review. You know, let us know what you think. If you really want, it's as simple as just giving us, hitting that 5 stars. That really helps us just show higher in these searches on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else a podcast is. The more reviews we get, the better chance we have of being exposed to a bigger audience. So please, if you're listening every week, give it a review. It takes 2 seconds and it really does help us out a lot. Screenshot those phone screens if you want to be featured on our page and we'll post that you were listening. That's a really cool way for us to engage with you guys, and it's really awesome to see when people are actually listening to the podcast. Other than that, I am looking forward to another episode that I'll be editing probably in the next few hours. And Kyle sat down with a really cool food blogger from the city of Syracuse, and there was a lot of really intellectual deep talk apparently, and I'm really excited to check it out. So I'm excited for the next episode. Thanks for listening. Give us a review, and as always, keep it real out there.